Good day, friends. Again, it is my joy to meet with you round the Word of God, and especially round the person of our Savior. Oh, how wonderful it is to know Him. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him means eternal life. And to know Him means that your life will be transformed by the Spirit of God who will indwell you. How marvelous it is that the Lord has not left us to our own ingenuity, but He has given to us the Spirit of God who has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And how often we pray that the Lord will increase our capacity for the truth. You see, we only receive according to our appetites. If you've got a big appetite for the Word of God, then you'll eat well. If you've got a little wee appetite, you'll just eat a little bit. May the Lord give you and me a great appetite for the Word of God. And may He increase our capacity not only to know the truth, but to have that truth live in us, so that the Lord Jesus will be magnified and glorified in all that we are and in all that we do. Now, for those who are tuning in for the first time, we're in the Gospel through Mark, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifested here as the servant of Jehovah. He's doing the will of His Father. And He came into the human race and found them under the bondage of death and of hell and of sin. And He came to serve His Father, to reveal God to men. And He does it by His teaching, by His life, and by the way He met the needs of people. If they were hungry, He fed them. If they were sick, He healed them. If they were demon-possessed, He'd cast them out. Oh, how He loves people. He can even say to publicans and sinners, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. Don't you love Him? Oh, that we who are Christians might so walk before Him that our actions, our lives will be such that people will be attracted to Him. And as you read the Word of God, read it to see Him. Don't read it to get to know more about your doctrine. I'm a stickler for doctrine. I believe in doctrine. I believe in teaching. That's what doctrine is. But may the Lord Jesus Christ be the center. Be the center. If I want to know the heart of God, the tenderness of God, the compassion of God, then I read the four Gospels, where it's demonstrated, manifested by our Savior, who was God manifested in the flesh. If I want to know something about the marvels of His work and of what He's doing today in the Church of Christ, then I go to the epistles. If I want to know what the future holds, and is the earth going to go on as it is now? Is there going to be a change? Will there ever be a time when righteousness shall reign? Yes, thank God, there's a time coming when righteousness shall reign from one end of the earth to the other. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, will come and reign in righteousness. Do you know, the other day someone said to me, "Mr. Mitchell, what will Jesus do when He leaves the throne?" You see, He's on the throne today. You find that in Hebrews, you remember. Four times in Hebrews, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What will He do when He steps out from the throne? Then, my friend, He comes as the judge, as the righteous judge. And as Revelation 19 says, the heavenly hosts cry out, "Righteous, O Lord, are Thy judgments in the earth." So I tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord is still on the throne. What's He doing? Taking care of His people. He's just taking care of you and me who love Him. There's not a moment of the day He ever leaves you. Not a moment of the day He's right there with you to meet your need. Not the way I may want it met, but He'll meet your need because He loves you. He'll answer your prayers because He loves you. He may not answer them the way you want them answered, but He'll answer them because He loves you. Remember that. "Oh, but Mr. Mitchell, I don't have much faith." Well, He answers your prayer because He loves you. You manifest your faith by bringing your request to Him. And as you read through this Gospel through Mark, you'll notice our Savior, He took time to be with His Father. Up on the mountain, in the desert, in the middle of the night, early in the morning, He just loved to be with His Father. Do you love to be with him? As he received his instructions from his father, for you remember he was a servant, and as a servant he received instruction. This is Mark's gospel. Not John, Mark. And remember, he came down the mountain, and what did he do? He found a people under the bondage of sin and death and hell. What could he do but meet their need? So he healed their sick, and he raised their dead, and he cleansed their lepers, and he cast out demons, and he fed the hungry. This is the Savior we have. These are his credentials, that he's the Messiah. These are his credentials, that he's the servant of Jehovah. These are his credentials as to the heart of God for sinful man, for you, for me. So in our last lesson, we were dealing with four kinds of ground into which the farmer sowed the seed. I'm not going to go again into it, except I've just mentioned again that the first ground was the stony ground, the wayside, pardon me, and that was opposed, the word of God was opposed by Satan. And then another kind of ground was stony ground, and the seed didn't come to fruition, didn't take root, because it had no place to put the seed. There were stony grounds, hard hearts, you see. And then you have the sown among thorns, and this is opposed by the world. Things of the world keeps a lot of people from accepting the Savior. And then there's the good ground, which gave forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now let's go on down to verse 26. You see, the other day I did talk to you about the question of why he spoke in parables. I don't want to go into any further. We took up the fact of that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand, and so on. Now we come to this question. Pardon me, the one I want is down verse 21. The next parable is the parable of the candle. It's very simple. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now here is the question of the parable of the candle. Now the purpose of light, as you well know, is to dispel darkness. That's why we put the lights on, to dispel darkness. And now you see it said here, now how simply the Lord takes simple things of life. This question, the first one, a man going out and sowing his seed. You just got the picture of it sowing on the different kinds of ground. Then the next one was a candle. Everybody knows about a candle. What do you use candles for? Dispel darkness. Now, says he, you don't take a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't take a candle and put it under the bed. You set it upon a candlestick, so it might give light to everything around, you see. You see, this bushel could be business. The bed speaks of ease. If I may first of all bring a practical lesson for you and me as Christians. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You don't take a candle and put it under a bushel. How often God's people, and I say this kindly, I also say it sadly, a great many of God's people, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and they know that God is light, hide their light under a bushel. I remember a man saying to me one time, well, Mitchell, it's okay to be a Christian on Sunday, go to your church, but leave it out of business. And I was glad for the reply of another man who was there, who said to him, well, sir, if I can't take my Lord into my business every day of the week, I better get rid of my business. But oh, how many Christians are afraid to speak for the Savior because of business. Please don't hide your light under a bushel. But you say, am I a light? Yes, in Philippians chapter 2 it says, you are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. I'm quoting Philippians 2, 15 to 16. You're the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. Jesus could say, you remember, to the people of his day, to his disciples especially, you are the light of the world. But you don't put a light and put it under a bushel. You don't put a light and put it under the bed. And if the bushel speaks of business, and great many have hidden their light under the bushel, afraid to speak out for the Savior because of the business they're in, what about others? And the bed would speak of ease, of rest. And so many people are just not bothered enough to talk about the Savior to anybody else. It's too much of a chore. They're so occupied with themselves, they forget other people. Oh, how easy it is for one to become indifferent to people's need of a Savior. God grant that you and I, as God's people, if we love the Savior, will not hide our light under a bushel or under the bed. But be upon a hilltop, let your light so shine before men. Now remember that God is light. Which leads me to the next little verse. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Remember that God is light, and everything is open to him. And because everything is open to God who was light, our Lord appeals to them to hear what he has to say. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Which opens up verses 24 and 25, where we have his exhortation. And I'm of the persuasion that his exhortation is to those who claim to have light. Listen to it. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now here he is, I believe, he's appealing to his disciples to take heed what they hear. And the more they hear, more will be given to them. And I really believe he's appealing especially to his disciples. The more they use what they have, the more light they have on truth, the more they heed the truth, the more truth he'll give them. Whenever I think of that, I think of that man in John chapter 9. I've used this before on the radio, but I'm going to use it again. You remember the story of the man born blind? They said to him, oh, who opened your eyes? He said, a man called Jesus. He gave his testimony. What do you think he is? The man said, he's a prophet. They kicked him out of the temple. He went over and Jesus met him. Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Lord, I believe. And I worshipped him. He saw Jesus, first of all, as a man. Then he saw him as a prophet. Then he saw him as the Son of God. If you walk in the truth that God gives you, he'll give you more. But mark the opposite. From him, the one that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. If you don't use what you have, you'll use it. If they will not hear what he has to say, then the very truth they claim to have, they will lose it. Someone as well said, and I quote, you lose by using, end of quote. You lose by not using. Well, that's true, that's true. You take your physical body. If you don't use your muscles, they'll shrivel. The more you use your muscles, the larger they become. When it comes to the things of God, the more I see Him, the more I want of Him, the more He gives. And then if I become indifferent to the Son of God, I won't hear what He has to say to me through His Word, then the truth I have will dry up in my own heart. You see, Christian friend, we must keep on going, heeding, hearing, heeding, obeying the Word of God. That's why I said a while ago, may the Lord increase our capacity for truth. The more you have, the more He'll give you. The less you use, the less you have. This is a principle. I met Christians who've been saved for I don't know how many years. They've never grown. They've never grown. Why haven't they grown? Because they didn't walk in the light they already had. And the more you have, the more the God gives you. See. Someone said to me just the other day, well, you don't have to study anymore, do you? I said, yes, I've got to study more. Of course, I've got to keep on studying. If I don't, it'll dry up what I already have. Or it's just like giving truth and it has no more life, no more power in it. No, you got to keep on. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. The more truth you walk in and believe, the more God gives to you. I repeat it, this is a principle. He said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That's very simple, isn't it? Very wonderful. Very wonderful. Now we come to another parable. It's the parable of the seed in its growth, or of how plants grow. Now this parable is only in the Gospel through Mark. You don't find it in Matthew 13, nor do you find it in Luke. You don't find any parables such as you have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the Gospel through John. Now here's a man sowing seed. Very simple. Verse 26. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now you have the question of sowing seed, and I believe that the parable teaches the work of the grace of God in a believer's heart. The seed is sown by a man here, and he doesn't know how it grows. No, who makes it to grow? God makes it to grow. The man, we read here that the man goes to sleep, rises up day after day, night after night, he goes to sleep, and the seed springs up, grows up, he doesn't know how. It's one of God's marvelous revelations. You put seed in the ground and it dies, and then it brings forth fruit. Another principle. Life comes out of death. And first of all, you see the blade and then the ear and so on. You see? In other words, when a farmer puts his seed in the ground, he does it, whether he knows it or not, he's doing it in cooperation with God. For it's God who gives the increase. And by the way, this is true of spiritual realities. Did you ever think of it? You don't know how you grow. You see, well, you grow by the Word of God. Yeah, but you read the Bible, you read it one way, somebody else reads it another way. You grow and he doesn't grow. Why? Heart attitude to the Savior. And you notice the growth is gradual. It doesn't come fruit out of the ground. First the blade, and then the ear, remember? Then the full corn in the ear. Then the fruit is brought forth. Then comes time for harvest. What I'm trying to get to your heart is, the Word of God has grown in your heart, and the moment the blade begins to come, it's a sign of life. But you don't cut the blade down. It goes on to fruition. And then comes the harvest. And I want to talk to that in our next lesson. But I want it very clearly understood that God is doing a work in your heart and my heart, Christian friend. Let us not hinder the work of God, or the work of the Spirit of God, using the Word of God in your heart and your life. I'm jealous for the Word of God to increase in your heart and in your life. I'm really jealous for that. That's why I plead with you to read and reread and reread the Word of God. Saturate your mind with it. Whether you know it or not, it'll have a tremendous effect in your day-by-day experience. Now, read Mark again, will you? We're in chapter 4. Don't be backward and read a passage through 6 or 8 times. And read it audibly so your ear hears your mouth, tells you what you see. You had 3 ways. And may the Lord bless you today in a wonderful way for his precious name's sake.